Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running on this 26th day of July 2017. The 26th day of July 2017 happens to fall on a Wednesday, midweek, hump day, downhill to Thursday. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And of course, you know that if it's hump day, downhill to Friday, midweek, yada, 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 that can only mean one thing. Here at the horn. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That means it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. It does. It does. We had ourselves a right lovely, lovely middle of the week, July day here. And I got to tell you, sometimes blessings can become curses. Mm-hmm. They sure can. I was telling you all about how, Agnes found me that bargain basement acorn cooker. And how, you know, last week the little old blue-haired ladies wanted me to try it out, so I did. Well, here's the curse part of it. I think I found myself a new prayer meeting Wednesday job. Not that I was looking for one. One of the little old blue-haired ladies from the Fellowship Hall kitchen came to me and said, Brother Bob, that was sure some good pulled pork. I wonder how that thing handles chicken. Well, nothing to do but find out. It involved the purchase of about a half a case of the cheapest beer I could find, poured out about half a can of each one, propped a chicken on every one, and smoked them chickens. And the little old blue-haired ladies seem right pleased. Brined the chickens up first in the official prayer meeting Wednesday Cathedral of Common Sense brine buckets. Brined them for a couple of hours. Patted them dry. Rubbed them down with a little Earl. That would be an anointing oil. And then hit them with some black pepper, some garlic and onion powder. A little bit of cayenne, a little bit of paprika, a little bit of chili powder. And set them to smoke for a few hours. Then just in the heat gets the beer to boiling on the inside, so it steams the chicken from the inside out while the convection current is a going on the chicken on the outside. Oh, I tell you what, we had several itinerant preachers show up for prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner this evening because a preacher can smell chicken cooking. From about 25, 50 miles away. And to go with it, that's not to say that the little old blue-haired ladies took the day off or anything, brethren and sistren. No, 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 no. They got busy. Big green salad.
Mm-hmm.
Some carrot and raisin salad. They always get that in there because they know I can handle that, and it tickles me pink. Well, I'm already pink. But it tickles me. And they worked up a Jell-O fruit salad. A little bit of corn on the cob. And then over to the dessert table, they had that easy fix four-layer pie with the sweetened cream cheese and the chocolate pudding and the Cool Whip on top and the chocolate shavings over the yeah. There wasn't nothing left. I looked over and one of the deacons was chomping on a chicken bone. So that little son of a gun works real good, that acorn. Just gotta manage to keep the fires banked enough to keep it from getting all infernal in there. But the deacons ripped through the chicken. I managed to scrounge up a bowl of the carrot and raisin salad and sat over in the corner working on that. Next thing I knew, I had to bust up a fight amongst three deacons who were fighting over the last few crumbs of that baked crust on the bottom of the four-layer easy pie. And I shoot them, and they begin scuttling up the couple of flights of stairs, trundling their massive bulk up there, and proceeded to go outside and began to smoking with the sinners, brethren and sistren. They got through three or four chain-smoked Pall Malls before Sister Carol Baker showed up there with a quick, that two-fingered whistle in the corner of the mouth and a friendly wave of the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod. Couple of good crackles of it. Them deacons, they perked right up. They made their apologies for their hasty exit to the sinners, crushed out their cigarettes on the pavement of the parking lot, and took flight. And you could experience the Doppler effect as they shot past Sister Carol Baker through the vestibule, past that bowl of desiccating butter mints, down the center aisle, and lined up right smart, lickety-split, right in front of me here, now, just down from the lectern. So, brethren and sisters, it is time we got started, and so they're standing there, they are, the deacons, standing there with the great big heavy brass velvet, burgundy velvet lined offering plates with the little PayPal button in the center. We pulled up a mite short fundraising wise last night, so we're going to do a laying on of hands and a little speaking in tongues. Longtime member of the congregation, Tom, out in the Bay Area, has got us started. He's offering to drop a Ulysses S. Grant right there, smack dab in the middle of one of the offering plates as soon as they've made the rounds of the congregation. So long as you understand, there's 10 Abraham Lincolns in there as well. Or 5 Alexander Hamiltons, or 2 Andy Jacksons, and 2 Abe Lincolns, or 2 Andy or an Andy Jackson, and 3 Alexander Hamiltons, or maybe just one other Ulysses S. Grant. In other words, if there's $50 in that offering plate, one of them, Tom in the Bay Area, as his little ray of sunshine challenge, will double it. And that'll go a long ways, brethren and sisters, because Well, the fundraising goal for this evening is $360. It could have been worse, but wasn't, because we've got a couple of subscribers. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed. So the fundraising goal is $360. When the plate comes around, it'd be mighty nice if there were 36 Alexander Hamiltons in there, or 18 Andrew Jacksons, so we don't have to sit and hope and pray for a prayer for a Friday on the front porch miracle. Okay. So, brethren and sisters, I'm going to call the minister of music up, who, incidentally, I am proud to say, has not been indicted for fondling, groping, or otherwise soliciting any children whatsoever, unlike many Christian denominations. I'm going to call the minister of music up, brethren and sisters, to lead us in the offertory hymn. So with every head bowed, hallelujah, amen. Every eye closed, glory to God. Except the one that he lets you keep scrunched open just a little bit so you don't get brained with the heavy brass offering plate with the red burgundy velvet lining. Hey, just reach in there, press that PayPal button, and pass it on as the offertory hymn continues. Brother Minister of Music, if you would please step forward and get us started.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
And dozy dotes and little lambs, it'd be a kiddly divy too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren? I love you. Welcome, welcome, brethren and sistren. We're so glad you could join us for prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah. I'm a telling you, I want to see you getting up out of your seats and onto your feet. And I want you to wiggle. And I want you to wobble. And I want you to scrunch, and I want you to scrunch, and I want you to get on down through the pews. Come on out. That's right. Walk without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall Fall upon your knees at the altar. Help, glory. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer. And ho, feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. And it is, this is, all of this is the Cathedral of Common Sense. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Brethren and sistren, I have sad news. I do. The minister of music led us in the offertory hymn. The plate circulated. And there was nothing in there for Brother Tom to match. Oh, we just counted. We counted every plate but one. Thank you to Brother Robert from Australia. I do not know who is on the $50 Australian bill. I don't see that sort of thing. It's probably a queen or a king or maybe a football player. I don't know, brethren and sistren, but Brother Robert from Australia matched Brother Tom. And he says, this is a challenge for the holiday account. Holiday is what they call vacations in the rest of the world, brethren and sistren. If three or more people could match it tonight, that would be appreciated. It's $50 Australian dollars. And that would be a massive help, because remember, brethren and sistren, courtesy of our buddy Scott, and his the challenge that we announced on his behalf at the beginning of the week, that you remember, the Send Bob to the Chirping Birds Basket Weaving Funny Farm for a Week challenge. Well, We're trying to match $1,250. So Agnes and I can slip away from here for a once, as Brother Scott called it, a once in a blue moon getaway. So thank you, Brother Robert, for meeting the challenge and extending the challenge. Looking for three folks at $38.08, which is what $50 Australian is. Thank you very kindly indeed. So we'll just keep the plates passing. It's good for the deacons to keep moving. They don't get a lot of movement, except for the upstairs, downstairs part and walking around during the services kind of thing. And it's good to have aerobic exercise for the deacons here in the cathedral. So we'll just keep them moving, and hopefully we'll knock down $360 tonight, and that'll put us on track for the Thursday and Friday portions of the program. Brethren and sistren, we do have work to do this evening. I'm sure you're well aware by now of what the Tangerine Tiberius did this morning with his Twitter. You know, the Constitution says that in times of war, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Now, I realize that we've been fighting in Afghanistan
so long now that there are kids getting their driver's licenses this year who have never known anything but a nation at war. But that's another one of those undeclared wars. Only Congress has the power to declare war, brethren and sisters. And we haven't declared one of those since 1941. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't but that doesn't change anything. Because Donald J. Trump still thinks he's maximum dictator for life. Yeah. So consequently today, he got up and declared in a series of tweets that there would no longer be any trans people in the military. No trans men, no trans women. He didn't necessarily have the power to do that, but did it, he did. What was the exact tweet? Well, it just so happens I've got that handy. It's the damnedest thing. Because it's kind of hard to ban trans people from the United States military. In less than 140 characters. So it took a series of tweets, and we may as well get used to the fact, I suppose, that that's how public policy is now going to be announced. If he's got a gripe with the Attorney General, he tweets it. If he's angry about a TV show that he watched, he tweets it, and it becomes official public policy of the White House. Mm-hmm. So, there we are. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. He sounds a little more like something out of Idiocracy every day. In particular, the part where not sure is sent to prison. Yeah. great moments in film history.
Okay, sir, now we will begin to proceed to obtain your IQ and aptitude tests.
What for?
Okay, sir, this is to figure out what your aptitude's good at and get you a jail job while you're being a particular individual in jail.
If you have one bucket that holds 2 gallons and another bucket that holds 5 gallons, how many buckets do you have?
2?
Thank you.
While you are being a particular transgender individual in the military. Yeah. It's mean-spirited. It's stupid. It's ignorant. And it is entirely to be expected. Well, you're being a particular individual in the military. Did Mike Judge know that he was doing prophecy? I ask myself every time I'm reminded of that film. But this is, you got to understand, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. If you've been listening to this program, you know that the issue of trans people in the military has been driving the white wing, upstanding, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians batshit crazy for quite some time now. Because, see, there was a debate in the House. And the debate was led, of course, by Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert. And what they wanted to do was strip out of the military budget the health coverage for transgender transitioning, which would theoretically include sex, what's called in some quadrants, sex reassignment surgery, and in others, gender confirmation surgery. Or, as Rush Limbaugh refers to it, and never gets in trouble on the FCC-censored American airwaves, an addictomy, in the case of female-to-male trans people. And then, he laughs at his own joke because he thinks it's so clever. My friends! No, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, bear in mind, because, remember, the reason cited by Geezer Disgustus for his decision, such as it is that, our military cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that particular transgender individuals in the military would entail. Okay, I added the idiocracy words, but he really did say the tremendous medical costs. I guess I agree, Arnold. Arnold pointing out he has lowered himself to a new kind of scumbag. But, you know, once you reach scumbag, the differences in scumbags are only important to other scumbags. But I agree, Arnold, I do. So it's the tremendous cost, they cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs the transgender in the military would entail. This would probably be the point where I note that in terms of tremendous costs to the military, thanks to Beth in Dallas for finding this, the annual medical services for transgendered individuals in the military runs in the neighborhood of about $8 million. Okay? $8 million. That's a lot of dough. That's a lot of money. Gosh, $8 million out of the VA medical budget, or the Pentagon medical budget. It's not really VA at that point. It's straight up military. I guess that's a whole lot of money, isn't it? I guess you could call that a tremendous burden of medical costs. Except, according to The Hill, the Pentagon spends $84 million a year on boner pills. No kidding. $84 million a year. So the big general's little general can get all stiffy-like. Yeah. The Military Times, The Hill cites them. The Military Times reported in 2015 that the military spent $84 million on erectile dysfunction medications such as Viagra and Cialis the previous year. On the other hand, the following year, 2016, the RAND Corporation, in a study, estimated the maximum annual medical cost for transgender military members would be around $8.4 million. Kristen Beck, a Navy SEAL veteran who is transgendered, interviewed by Business Insider, said, "You're talking about .000. God damn, that's a lot of zeros. 0.00001% of the military budget. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption the transgender in the military would entail." Oh, and just in case you're wondering, something like 16 of our allies have no problem with trans people in the military. None. But again, this goes back to an evangelical fundamentalist, upstanding Bible-believing Christ-centered evangelical fundamentalist, amosexual Christ-centered hissy fit that's been going on for a while, because a deadline was approaching at which point the military would simply have said, "Yeah, okay, so we got trans folks in the military. No biggie. Can they kill other people? Do they want to? Will they follow orders when we tell them to? Kill." This did not, however, sit well with Steve Cantaloupe's King of Iowa and with Louis Asparagus Gohmert. In fact, he rose to address his colleagues in the House, Steve Cantaloupe's King did, this past Friday. He said that including gender confirmation surgery in the enlisted medical package would turn us into, I guess, it's kind of hard to follow, the Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. What they did in order to keep them from reproducing was that they did reassignment surgery on those slaves they had captured that they had put into their Janissary troops. And that reassignment surgery was they took them from being a virile reproductive male into being a eunuch. That's a lesson of the military, the Ottoman military, from 200-400 years ago. Yeah. I
Don't blame me. I just read the quotes. I don't know. I don't know. Steve in New York asks a simple question. So it would make us Muslim? Kind of licked, I guess. I mean, hard to say. But then again, what he was talking about was the predilection of the Ottoman Empire to castrate. Not because, see, sex reassignment surgery didn't exist 200, 300, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, 600, 700, 800 years. No, they didn't. It didn't. Did not. But I think Steve got the right idea. That's what all the birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, ninthers, deathers, tenthers, booger eaters, trumpansies are supposed to hear. Yeah, that's something the Muslims did. I guess that'll make us have a Muslim military, and we'll have to start the fighting of our battles and bow toward Mecca. With drag queens. Yes, Steve, yes. Bruga, 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 transgendered Muslims. Bruga, bruga. You'd laugh if it wasn't so pathetic. Matt in San Francisco writing, these guys never give up. The one thing I got to hand to these small-minded religious freaks, they never give up. They're determined to make LGBTQ people disappear. First comes the banning transgender folks from the military, then it's a law taking away this or that right. Next, maybe we start a registry, and I'll get signed up so the government knows where we are. Then maybe we can wear some kind of identifier, maybe a pink triangle on our sleeve or something. Never forget. Fuck you, Trump. You cowardly, orange-faced, combed-over, idiotic, bigoted, insane motherfucker. Oh, and to penis-craving Pence, fuck you too. Signed, Matt in San Francisco. And see, this is the larger discussion that needs to be had, because we know these things, but the booger eaters out there don't. One, while we do tend to say the LGBTQQQ community, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer questioning community, and we try to just catch, you know, we try to catch all the colors in one rainbow. It's actually a lot of different people who are just a part of the larger lot of different people that is, in fact, common humanity. And there's one more thing to add into this. On the campaign trail, Marcus Aurelius was really pretty quiet on those LGBTQQQ issues and questions. Because, you know, after all, he's a New Yorker. And New Yorkers, you know, they just don't give a goddamn. Everything's working up there. It's no big deal. So he stealthed his way. And you know, I know of, saw him on Facebook. Very, very out gay folks who were like, damn right I'm voting for Trump. He doesn't care any, he's not bigoted against the community. And I hate me some Hillary. I'm not kidding. Certain people within this community know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm voting, I'm voting for Trump because Hillary's the devil. And so they then went ahead and did that. And you can make the argument that part of the reason for doing that is because of all the activist groups, the gay community has probably been, in recent years, more successful than any other one. And if you pick a fight with the gay community, you've picked a fight you're going to lose. Well, now, he's picked a fight with the LGBTQQQ community. Thank you, Arnold, saying amen to Matt's letter. I have a feeling there's a lot of amens out there this evening. I remember a very long time ago when the Horn had the first and only, at that time in the United States, nightly national program hosted by a gay man. My dear, dear friend, my brother, Peter Godbold. And Peter worked really, really hard to try to explain to straight America just how ordinary, how unutterably, boringly typical it could be to just be gay. The archive is back there somewhere. His archive is out there at White Rose. I mean, it is. But I remember one particular evening. And, Peter is one of the most delightful human beings you will ever know. And one of the most kind, one of the most generous. And he had DJ'd in gay discos, had lived a very, very gay life. And joked, he said, he'd say, I'm Peter Godbold and I'm so gay, the exhaust from my car is pink. But when it came to the trans community, Peter freely admitted that he was kind of in the dark. Because of all the communities inside that catch-all LGBTQQQ moniker, trans people are probably more misunderstood than any other segment. This is not to say it's a competition. It isn't. But what happened today is a manifestation of a continuing misunderstanding. I'm sure if you looked at Donald J. Trump and said, Donnie, most trans people are straight, you'd get the same look on Comrade Kumquat's face that you get when you read Chaucer to a beagle. Yeah. dumbasses like Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Donald J. fucking Trump don't realize they're attacking heterosexual, in many cases, heterosexual people. And I remember Peter just being sort of gobsmacked by all that. And I remember him, he had a trans advocate on the program who was just brilliantly kind and understanding and really answered every question. And meanwhile, the listenership was largely straight. So we had a trans person explaining transgenderism to a gay guy who was trying to be a facilitator for the straight community. Wow. But, you know, a lot of the... Oy. But this is how confusing bigotry can render a non-problem. Because see, that's the bottom line with all of this. It's a non-problem. You know, Mad Dog Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, said he wanted a little more time to study the issue to make sure it wouldn't affect the lethality of the American military, which in itself was a bullshit, bigoted excuse, because what was happening is from the day he took his oath of office, he began being swamped with prejudiced, biased, bigoted, transphobic communications from who else? Of course, the Christians. Thou shalt not put on the raiment of a woman, nor shall a woman put on the raiment of a man, for yea, verily, it is an abomination unto the Lord, says the book from the fucking Bronze Age. About a culture where everybody wore a goddamn dress. Jesus wore a dress. Socrates wore a dress. The fucking Roman legions marched all over Europe and into Asia in cute little short skirts. God damn. But please understand, when the right wing gets its maiden forms in a bunch over trans people, I want to be clear about one thing, and the potty paranoia bore this out as well. It's not female to male trans people that these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians are worried about. It is the male to females. Because they have one, just as when they start talking, if a Christian starts talking, you know, the kind of Christians I'm talking about, the focus on the family types, the family research council types, the Mark and Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi types, the Baptists and the Methodists. And I'm not talking about that wee, tiny little contingent of, decent United Churches of Christ and Episcopalians and Congregationalists and Unitarians, at least the Unitarians who happen to be Christian. I'm not talking about them. talking about mainline, mainstream Christianity. When they hear transgendered, their entire brains are overcome by an overwhelming vision of RuPaul, a drag queen. Oh! Right? Yeah. And so from there, to say that we're going to have trans people in the military, what your Southern Baptists and Pentecostals and what they hear when they hear transgender in the military, they see an entire battalion of RuPaul mincing into battle. Got a note here from Jeremy in Vermont. How about the now transitioned former Navy SEAL? That's who was quoted in the Business Insider story, who tweeted back to Mr. Trump, "Tell it to my face. We're talking about a person, regardless of sex, who could do any number of people in with their bare hands." Trump's opened up the floodgates to these tiny-minded, cold-hearted, uneducated Trump pansies to say and do as they please. Fuck them all, says Jeremy in Vermont. But just as is the case when these evangelical fundamentalists, just as is the case when they think of gay people, they immediately start thinking of sex and can think of no other aspect of their lives. Well, when they think of trans people, they think of male to female transsexuals. And effeminate, sissified males who would be afraid to grasp a rifle lest they crack a nail. Shh. Don't tell anybody, but it's the same reaction they had to the idea of women in the military.
Well, we can't have the females in the military because obviously they're not as strong as a male, you see, and they'd probably crack under pressure. And you know what do you do when you're ordering your unit to charge and they say, well, we can't do that. We are totally not dressed for the occasion.
That's the way they talked about women.
You can't send you can't have women piloting fighter combat planes. What if they get shot down over enemy territory? The rapes would be terrible. Bingo, off to the sex again.
And they made that argument. So, you know, this is, I'm not lecturing. It's just a filibobster. It's just prayer meeting Wednesday. It's just the Wednesday lesson. Well, I tell you what, those Sicarii back in Jesus' day, they were pretty effective, weren't they? Yeah. They would dress up as women. I guess they'd put on a veil or something, because men didn't have to wear veils, but women did. And maybe a few bangles or something. And then they'd tuck a razor-sharp little dagger. Under the, you know, dress or gown or whatever. And when a Roman soldier got near enough, they'd pull out that dagger and cut him from gut to gizzard. dead didn't seem to slow their effectiveness any. And we, you know, just ask practically any politician in Washington, we support Israel. Well, if what people like Tangerine Tiberius and Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert and the rest of those sexual deviants think, the entire Israeli military is a bunch of drag queens. And so is the British military and the French military and the German military. Any one of which are absolutely capable, militarily speaking, of kicking some serious ass. But no. People like Louis Asparagus Gohmert are absolutely convinced that having trans people in the military, we'd have to change everything. We'd have to have the first airborne Scarlett O'Hara hoop skirt infantry. And it all comes down to patriarchy. The reason they're not as bothered by female to male is that within their patriarchal worldview, while it's not normal, it's understandable that there would be some women who wanted to access the power structure of a male-dominated culture. What they do not and cannot and will not understand is why someone born biologically or genetically or plumbingly male would ever want to give up all the wonderful privileges, white male privilege, remember, male privilege, that come with having a little dangly thing and a couple of marbles hanging between your legs. Why would you? It's crazy that you'd give that up. Why, that would mean that maybe there wasn't anything so all-fired, star-spangled special about having a dangly thing and a couple of marbles hanging between your legs. And if there's nothing special about that, then 2,000 years of Western civilization just fucking crumbles. And then where are you? It's just another reminder, I suppose, of how damnably far we have to go. Ron and Raleigh with a question. Let me get this straight. Does a tweet from Dolt45 now have the force of law? Why aren't the Repiglicans whining and kvetching about ruling by executive order? Can he now roll back the gays in the military rules with a tweet? He thinks he can because he thinks he's dictator for life. He does. And, of course, he can't do all that. But it won't stop him from trying. But he has run up against the single most effective activist force in the United States today. The LGBTQQQ community. And so there'll be lots of lawsuits. And there'll be lots of losing. Because what he said in his tweet is that what do you do? Okay? There are people who are in the military right now. And, you know, I'm not pro-war. I'm anti-war. But today also just happens to be the anniversary of the day that Harry Truman signed the integration of the military into law in 1948. And so on the, I'm not fucking kidding, 69th anniversary of that, Donald Trump purports to have banned trans people from the military. If he wasn't such an odious prick, you'd feel sorry for him. He is so deeply in the hands of the goddess of irony. He's never going to know what got him. Really? You use the anniversary of the integration of the United States military, the 69th, to make some bizarre patriarchal sexual statement? Oh, she's fucking with him hard. And so, there's going to be pushback. There has to be pushback. Because, like I said, there really are out trans people in the military today. What are you going to do, Donnie? Give them a dishonorable discharge because you're the maximum president of all presidents? By now, I'm sure you've seen that bizarre goddamn clip from last night in Youngstown. I'm the most presidential president, with the exception of Lincoln. And if I wanted to, I could be more presidential than him. But I want to get stuff done. I don't want to be presidential. I want to get stuff done. I'm the most presidential president. Fuck. Can you imagine if Barack Obama or even Bill Clinton had said something like that? Here, let me give you a barometer. Way back in the 1970s, Jimmy Carter did the unthinkable and granted an interview to Playboy magazine, which caused a firestorm in its own right. But in that interview with Playboy magazine, he said that he was not perfect. He said that he, Jimmy Carter, was a sinner. And by way of example, said that he had lusted after women, not his wife, in his heart. And who? Jesus Christ! The right-wing Christians, the Christians generally, had a goddamn baby. Oh, they had kittens with crocheted tails. He admitted what? That pervert! But now, now we have a president who can say, who can swear in front of Boy Scouts, who can talk about orgies in front of Boy Scouts. And it's no biggie. And then wake up two mornings later and think he can throw every trans person in the military out of the military. We got a lot of work to do. Barkway, with an email, says, I'm listening, and when you said the bigoted right don't fear the female-to-male but the male-to-female transgendered person, I thought, well, of course, it's Quagmire's dad syndrome from Family Guy, where Quagmire's dad has sex reassignment surgery, and then Brian, who had been away and doesn't know about it, sleeps with her after the surgery, or the episode of the Cleveland Show, where Cleveland's dad, Freight Train, does the same with another transgendered person. They fear they might have sex with someone who wasn't born normal, a.k.a. pseudo-homophobic fear of sleeping with a boy disguised as a girl. I think there's some truth to that, Barkway. Because, see, all these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians, yeah, they've got those visions of RuPaul in their head, but guess what? In those visions of RuPaul, RuPaul is hot. And we know from the goddamn wealth of sexual deviation stories about ministers of the gospel and men of the cloth and, you know, friends of Jesus out there, that they have some of the most twisted minds in the world. Speaking of which, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, a youth pastor by the name of Ronnie Hyde down in Florida is out on bond. He's out on bond because he was charged with second-degree murder and child porn charges this past March for a 1994 cold case murder of a 16-year-old runaway boy named Fred Laster. It was a cold case because they couldn't find the murderer of Fred Laster, who, after killing him, dismembered his body and threw it in a dumpster. More than two decades ago, according to the complaint, youth pastor Ronnie Hyde befriended the runaway teenager. He was youth pastor at Strength for Living Church in Yulee, Florida. And, well, other people have begun to come forward, too. And at the time of his arrest, by the way, he was a counselor at Crosswater Community Church in Nocatee, Florida. And at this point in time, he's a suspect in other cases, so many of them, that the police have paid to put up 8 billboards in the area asking for information. This is around Jacksonville, Florida. One man has come forward, and he told police that he had been mentored as a runaway back in 1992 when Ronnie Hyde brought him to his house, showed him all of his Freedom Protector guns, and then showed him some pornography. And then, you know, fucked him. So, the police thought they had probable cause, so they arrested him, and he was indicted. He's entered a not guilty plea. And from the Department of Solid Brass, his lawyers have filed a motion demanding that the state return the firearms they seized in the raid on his house. They also want a Toyota Scion vehicle. They want his guitar equipment. They want a cell phone and a wallet. There you go. You know what? I bet Ronnie Hyde is opposed to having trans people in the military, too. Don't you? But it's going to be, nothing's easy. There are always people willing to, cover, be a beard for this president. Consider this CNN interview today. With a trans Navy officer. And by the way, just in case, just for the sake of radio, because we don't have the video, the CNN footage includes a picture of Donald Trump on the campaign trail holding up a big rainbow flag that's labeled LGBTQ for Trump. Just like those log closet Republicans. Go figure. In any movement, there will always be collaborators. So here is Blake, Lieutenant Commander Blake Drimmon, talking to Jake Tapper over at CNN.
Positioned in 2013 while on active duty, he's reported to be the first openly transgender service member to be promoted after the ban was lifted against transgender individuals serving openly. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it, Lieutenant
Absolutely,
Commander.
Thanks.
So what was your response when you saw or heard about the tweets from the president this morning?
I was definitely shocked and upset. As transgender service member, I'm doing my job and continuing to serve with honor and dignity, and this was definitely something that has taken me aback at least for the foreseeable future.
Have you heard from your superiors? Are you worried about being separated from the military against your will?
I am absolutely worried about being separated. I have already talked to my superiors, and they're just as shocked as I am. But they wanted me to know that they completely support me and support the work that I do as far as within the military, and that they'll continue to do so till the military tells me it's time to hang up my boots.
So one of the reasons, the president said that the reason was to because people like you are disruptive. And the truth of the matter is that for people watching right now, you might be the first transgender individual that they've ever seen or heard from, and certainly the first transgender current military that they've ever heard
Absolutely.
From. So what do
But I do want to point out that this is proving my point. This is and I'm not trying to set up any barriers or create any perceptions of discrimination in my own right. Not at all. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. But this is the kind of transgender individual that is non-threatening to good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Lieutenant Commander Blake Drimmon is a female-to-male trans person. He's obviously transitioned, identifies as male, looks male, sounds male, and would certainly not cause Steve Cantaloupes King or Louis Asparagus Gohmert any consternation whatsoever in a shower until, well, I mean, and who knows, you know, unless, because, you know, remember, they're fundamentalist deviants, those two. So while they would be safe in a shower around Lieutenant Commander Dremmen, Lieutenant Commander Dremmen might very well not be safe in a shower around them. But this is this naval lieutenant commander is no threat to the right wing.
What do you want them to know?
What I really like to know, want them to know, is that we've already been serving for over a year. We've caused no disruption.
Openly since
June of 2016. We've caused no disruptions. There's been no readiness issues. We continue to deploy. We are company commanders, special operators, drill sergeants who are continuing to do the mission. And there is nothing that has held us back with regards to moving forward on the policy. There's been no issue with the policy since it's been released. And as stated, this has been a bit of a shock. The numbers are in our favor.
There are there's talk that the reason the president might have done this could have something to do with wanting this to be an issue for Democratic members of Congress, especially in Rust Belt states, to have to defend, putting them in an awkward position. If it's true that this was being done for political reasons, what would you think?
If it's being done for political reasons, then that's not really my realm to delve into.
Okay, yeah. The reason you're not wearing your uniform is because you can't wear it as an active duty service member talking about this, and you've also
you also have
parameters of what you speak to. A study directed by the Defense Department found that the military would spend less than 0.25% on readiness and health care for transgender service members. The president disagrees, obviously. He also said, in summarizing, transgender service members are a disruption. Has the military ever had to make a special accommodation for you? Did the military pay for your surgery?
I prefer not to talk about my surgeries, but yeah, we provide medical care for service members that need medical care, and that's the premise. Being transgender is a medical issue that can be treated, and that's what we've done. So no different than anybody that needs a knee surgery or a shoulder surgery. Or is pregnant, you know, if a medical issue comes up and you're already actively serving, we treat it and we go back to serving, just like anybody else.
Before the election, President Trump, and since the election, I should say, President Trump has painted himself as a supporter of LGBTQ rights. There he is holding up a rainbow flag, LGBTQ, during the campaign. And listen to this, this from the campaign.
Ask yourself, who is really the friend of women and the LB and LGBT community? Donald Trump with actions or Hillary Clinton with her words? I will tell you who the better friend is, and someday I believe that will be proven out big league.
Did you believe him when he said that he was going to be a friend to the LGBT community?
I trust that my commander-in-chief knows what he is supposed to be doing, and this definitely feels that he... I'm uncomfortable understanding, because as a member of the military, we support and defend the Constitution, and I will not criticize his words or his actions with regards to the military publicly. So... I have to believe that he wants the best for the military, and this is just really bad advice that he's been given by people who don't trust RAND when they trust RAND for other studies that the military does. They don't trust...
The RAND Corporation said there would be very little disruption.
Very little disruption, and it has been. We've proven that over and over.
Let me just point something out. This guy's career is already over. He doesn't want it to be. He doesn't want to think it is. He doesn't believe it is. But he's still got more honor in him in his little toenail than there exists in the entire corporeal being of Donald Trump. So he's honoring his oath when Donald Trump will not, has not, never will honor his. I mean, this opens up a great big can of worms that never needed to be opened. Ron in Raleigh asks, when the military has joint training missions with NATO, does this mean that none of the trans soldiers of our allies can participate? Or does it mean, hey, what about a wartime situation where maybe you've got some trans soldiers from another military? Does this mean that the American military has leave to discriminate? Or, you know, maybe you could squeeze off a few rounds at one of those, trans soldiers from the UK with us in, say, Afghanistan. Yeah, oh, well. And again, what's it going to say when they boot Lieutenant Commander Blake Drennan from the Navy? What kind of discharge is he going to get? If he served honorably, how can it be anything but an honorable discharge? Even if the discharge itself, not Drennan's conduct, but if the discharge itself is dishonorable. Military gets to vote. There were a lot of people bamboozled into voting for that hideous misanthrope in the White House. And by the way, the footage there of Trump holding up the LGBT flag at Greeley, Colorado. But understand something. This is payback. Trump didn't know it was the 69th anniversary of the integration of the military. What Trump knew is that he had to get some heat off of him because of the Boy Scout business and the Jeff Sessions business. Because even the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals down in Alabama, they're kind of pissed at him for the Sessions stuff. And there are some scout moms and scout dads out there and scout masters and scout leaders and pack leaders and who are sort of appalled at what went on here in West Virginia a couple of days ago. And so he needed to get back some love from the organized, tax-free, bigoted religion industry.
Well, see, he's still on our side, praise Jeebus. Yeah, he's not gonna let our military turn into a bunch of mince and sissy Nancy boys. I mean, I guess we gotta have them Homer sectionals in there, but at least we don't have to let them wear dresses. Right? Right.
Yeah. It's about how it works, isn't it? Sadly. And that's just, you know, that's just the start of things.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. Goddamn internet's crapped. Out. Crashed. So we'll be rebooting and restarting here in a moment. And then we'll get going again. I hate it when this happens. Thanks, Frontier. Yeah, these are the guys who are suing to stop a law in West Virginia that would allow people to come together in co-ops to stop, form co-ops to provide competent broadband internet service. Yeah, I know, isn't it hilarious? So we'll be booting back up in a minute. Really cheesy router takes a little bit to restart. Well, that certainly sucked. For those of you wondering where the program went, and you already know this if you're listening to the podcast, but if you're listening live, well, by God, Frontier crashed. And the router you get from Frontier these days is a real live, honest-to-God piece of shit. So I'm back. And hopefully I'm back with the rest of y'all, too.
So let's just, we're at the halfway mark of the program. Let's just call this let's just call this the break then. If you'd like to participate in the program, I invite you to call in 304-663-4676. That's the stress line, and it seems to be working quite well these days. I'm checking it now to make sure the Bluetooth is connected, which it is. 304-663-HORN, named after the inimitable Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. The other line, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. And you know, that's really weird. Will says, Bob's back. The sound's a little bit weak. You know what? The sound is weak. And I don't know why. So we'll just gain things up just a hair. And maybe that'll make things a little bit better. But I can hear myself. I can hear the distortion. Yay. Anyway, we're at the halfway mark. Let's take a break. A reminder. We have $360 to raise this evening. And we're also trying to come up with matching funds for week's vacation that Scott in Sweden, our buddy Scott, is sponsoring. And that $360 goes a long way toward that. But the other thing that we've undertaken beginning this month is to pay for the White Rose Society servers. So that's all in the mix, too. Well, we've got $280 to go this evening to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. We'll keep the plates passing. And we'll take a break. Hopefully that number will decrease some so that the hole won't get any deeper come tomorrow. Okie dokie. All right. This is listener-supported conversation radio. If you want to reach via Skype, that works too. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. We'll be back. Nope.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cage, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At a time of invitation, you can't take it. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Middleman from China, but down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, she was in that way. Love you came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. of action, temporarily out of
that's absolutely right.
She's out to get you.
She's a killer.
Yeah, for all I know, Frontier may have completely knocked us out, but we appear to be. God damn, I hate this distortion. Jesus Christ. Old dead equipment. What do you want? Frontier may have just completely wasted the audience, but knocked the Horn family congregation out of the loop. But we will pretend that that they didn't, and we'll go in. I'll go over and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Oh, I was just thinking about Frontier. Their Frontier is two cans and a string. That's about it.
Little better, really. I mean,
pursuant to today's news of that poltroon's latest edict, I just was absolutely flabbergasted because I keep up with what goes on in DOD and this, that, and the other. And, you know, DOD was going in confirmation with the study done by RAND. That's the reason they spend all this money with these people. And yet this guy, with one tweet, can undo all that.
He thinks he can. Can he?
Yeah, he thinks he can. You know, Adolf Hitler thought he could. Caligula thought he could. Napoleon thought he could. And how many other thought he could can we drag from the dustbin of history?
Well, the only problem is that that is, in fact, Jim, the dustbin of history. But we have to take into account the circumstances with which we deal. This will certainly be challenged in court. But the thing that attends that is that we're talking about a court now that has a justice on it replacing fat dead Tony Scalia, who makes fat dead Tony Scalia look like William Brennan. Okay.
I know who you're talking about.
So Gorsuch.
Roberts, too. I mean, Roberts is the one who took the guts out of Obamacare and tried to. And Gorsuch is going to, you know, kiss him by his ass as long as they're a Republican and just say, of course, I'll vote along with you. And, you know, that's exactly what's going to happen. I tell you, we are sailing on troubled seas, my friend.
Well, yeah, we are, and like I said, this was thrown out there to distract, and obviously it worked. It worked on me to distract people from the question of what's going on with health care, the question of what's going on with Sessions, and all the other rolling disasters. The man, the man is up to his eyeballs in his own paranoia now. I mean, I think...
Well, you know, eventually he's going to have to crack. And what he does, it's going to be a very, very ugly scene.
Oh, don't you think he already has?
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking about the crack showing and spilling out. I mean, you know, the seams are there. I mean, I have never seen anyone in my life. Yes, I have not seen but heard of anyone in my life who has behaved in the White House the way this asshole has behaved. This man is totally and completely unfit to be president of the United States. He's unfit to be anywhere.
He should be enjoying his retirement, Jim.
No, I don't grant him that. No, sir. I would put him on... No, I was going to say I would put him on Santa Helena. But no, that idiot came back. But nonetheless, he finally got his ass kicked and died somewhere else. I mean, this guy's just absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't listen as Commander-in-Chief. You do not fail to listen to the members of your Joint Chiefs and studies and things of that nature. And already the fallacies of any supporters, as far as dollars are concerned, with the Pentagon have been completely discredited.
Well, the funny thing here, Jim, is that this issue has been studied, okay? And the House of Representatives even, I mean, we're talking about this House of Representatives.
Right.
Refused to strip the medical funding from the defense bill. A bump from $2.4 million to $8.4 million for medical care for enlisted trans personnel. And this is the result of that hissy, okay? Because when that was refused, that's when Steve Cantaloupes King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert started blathering away about the Ottoman Empire and castrated Janissaries.
Oh my God! I mean, they do have a wonderful view of history, and I would like to take the person who taught them their history and take them out behind the barn with a good buggy whip.
Yeah, but see, no one taught them their history. They make it up as they go along.
Yeah, right? That's what they do. Absolutely. Now, they call it, is what they call it, the alternative truth.
Yeah, alternative facts.
I just love that. I just love that phrase. Alternative truth. It sort of reminded me of Final Solution. Transportation to a better place.
Pacification. How about that?
Oh, yeah. All those other, you know, buzzwords that they've used to cover up terrible and horrible things.
But what I was getting at is, you know, he makes it sound like it's just something that dawned on him. But the fact of the matter is, he also said, after consultation with my generals, who knew he had generals? I thought they were our generals, but never mind.
No, they're his.
Well, but he didn't, because see, every one of the every single member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have talked about this issue, and the one thing that they agreed upon is that whatever it was that they might have thought about the issue, you know, I mean we're talking about generals and admirals here. I'm sure we're talking about some very, very butch people.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I just get this image of George C. Scott in a pair of boxer shorts, looking at the girl under the sun lamp with the bikini on, and Dr. Strangelove saying, "Honey, you just stay right there, and
I'll be blast off.
An old buck will be back before you can say blast off."
Yeah, I remember. Tell your prayers now. Oh God.
But the reason I say this is, every single member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is in agreement that they do not wish to just throw out every trans member of the military. And that is exactly what this dipshit did, or purported to do, this morning.
Yeah, and this morning during the news conference, Huckabee, or whatever her name is, said that this will be a matter sorted out between DOD and the White House.
Well, no, it won't.
Well, that's what she said.
It's strictly, I mean, he is taking powers he does not have.
Of course he does. And, you know, let him continue. Let him continue. And he says, or he has said, we'll see. We'll see.
Isn't that what he said about releasing his tax returns?
Oh, yeah. And I think the Republican Party is just going to have to, anybody who has any sense, who wants to be reelected during the next midterm, they're going to have to turn his ass out.
Well, Jim, I so badly want to agree with you, but I cannot.
Now, I really believe that they're going to, I really believe that there is some relevant, that's not the correct word, but there is some remnant of sanity in Washington, even in the Forbidden City.
But not, not in the Republican Party.
Well, you know, he did this also to shore up what he considered to be his base, right? Because all those guys who were up there cheering for him and carrying on and say, yeah, throw that. Resembles something out of that movie in, in which they had the fight scene in the cage. Bruno, that's the kind of people that support Trump. Those kinds of people that were portrayed in that movie.
And there are enough of them to keep this Congress in place. And the only way that these Republicans in the House and Senate could endanger themselves would be to go after Trump. They understand that.
Well, you know, certain mistakes have a way of correcting themselves. I think he's going to become so out there where there is no there that something's going to have to be done. I mean, we cannot continue to have this poltroon, and I would like to use another words, but your friend in San Francisco portrayed my feelings exactly about both of them.
Stole your thunder. Matt stole your thunder, did he?
No, Matt did a good job, and he said exactly how I'm thinking, so I'm not going to try to steal his.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jim, because, I mean, you know about military organization. If you had 11,000 members of the military in one unit, what would you have? I mean, is that
11,000?
Is that a brigade? Is that a battalion?
11,000 could be a whole division.
Okay. So then let's be clear. He's talking about throwing an entire division out of the United States military. Is our military that big that we can just you know...
You know, depending on in-theater status, that could be a whole army. I don't know. I mean, I've kind of lost track with the numbers that are required for strength. But nonetheless, that's what he's doing. He is hurting a lot of people, and he is doing so without any sense of compunction. He has lied. You know, whenever I see that son of a bitch, one phrase comes to mind with me. I will have no more territorial concessions demanded from me. Munich, 1938. And that's exactly how I feel about this person.
Well, I mean, I understand. But if all of this is about military readiness and how we can't stand that kind of burden.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Well, what kind of a burden is it on the military, Jim, to chuck out 11,000 people overnight?
A lot of burden. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would like to say, or like to ask, what is going to be written on their DD, on their discharge?
Yeah, that's my question too. I mean, you can't hardly dishonorably discharge them.
No, it would probably be a general discharge if they really want to be assholes about it.
If it's anything but an honorable discharge, it's a goddamn lie.
Well, and not only in addition to that, the person who bears that document is fucked. You let an employee or anybody else see that you've got a general discharge, you may as well not have showed up for the interview. That's it.
I mean, there's honorable, dishonorable, medical, and general, right?
Yeah, I bet there's a call before the DD-214.
Yeah.
That's it right there. There's a carrier document that benefits the person or destroys his life, depending on his degree of service in the military.
So could the discharge say could it say general discharge - transgendered?
Oh, Bob, that'd be even worse.
No, I'm not asking about better or worse, Jim. I'm asking could it be that?
They can make it anything they want to make it. It depends upon, you know, I guess at whom discretion that discharge is created, which is generally the soldier's immediate superior, and that goes up the chain of command.
Here's another question.
Does this person have any medical rights? Do they have any VA rights?
That was my next question. So somebody transitions under the law as it was expressed, and as that one individual noted, they've been serving openly for a year. There's not been a problem. So what happens? Let's say there's someone who's gone through full gender reassignment, okay? Let's say he needs urological work.
Yeah.
Because of this, can those benefits be denied?
Sure they can. They can do anything they want to do.
Because you're going out of the active duty military and into the jurisdiction of the VA.
Yeah, and we know how compassionate they are. Don't we?
Well,
haven't we seen?
Yeah.
And so, you know, this guy has just undercut the entire force structure of the entire United States military by one fucking tweet.
Well, and remember, this all happens on a day when the Secretary of Defense is nowhere to be found. Now, suddenly we've got a problem in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you've noticed this. Nobody knows where the Secretary of State is, and nobody knows where the Secretary of Defense is.
Well, you know, a lot of them didn't know the day when, a lot of them weren't there when Kennedy was killed either, you know. Remember those days? A lot of people in prominent positions were out of position.
And for this, I mean, like Rex Tillerson, they said, by the way, where's Rex on? And the official spokesperson for the State Department said, he's can't use doing his hair, can't, no, the dog didn't eat his
He's at a staff meeting, or he...
No, he's taking some time away, I think was the official term used. Now, if you're the Secretary of State, dare I say that it is real damn weird, Jim, for the entire State Department not to know where you are.
Of course. I mean, that's part of their job. They've got to be able to be in 24/7 contact, whether it's defense, whether it's state. I mean, these are cabinet-level people. I mean, they literally...
I mean, he's in the line of succession to the presidency at some point, is he not?
Oh, yeah. He sure is.
Okay, so that being the case, doesn't it become a matter of national security to sort of know where he might be?
Absolutely.
At all times?
Absolutely.
I mean, listen, you know, I'm going to go hike the Appalachian Trail for a couple of weeks. That's what, the State Department knows that the Secretary of State is hiking the Appalachian Trail. Well, Business Insider, okay, when asked about the discrepancies between Tillerson's public schedule and his reported movements and why the department hadn't updated the press on his whereabouts, spokesperson Nauert said Tillerson does have the ability to go away for a few days on his own. Just taking a little time off, Nauert said of Tillerson's unannounced absence. He's got a lot of work. He just came back from that mega trip overseas, as you well know. Many of you were over there with the G20. Asked why she didn't just say Tillerson was on vacation, Nauert said she didn't know the standard protocol for listing private days. She said Matt Lee, a diplomacy writer for the Associated Press, would probably know.
That's bullshit. You know it's bullshit, and I know it's bullshit.
Well, time out, okay? I'm going to get all paranoid for a minute here, Jim. And I don't do that very often.
How do you think it makes me feel?
So you've got the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense, and nobody knows where either of them are.
That's not so. That's just not so, Bob. I mean, I know you said that as making a declarative statement.
Well, I mean, that's the public declaration from the fucking government, okay?
Well, that's a damn lie. And if it is a lie, God help us. I mean...
Well, I mean, I'm wondering...
All of these people.
I'm wondering...
All of these people at cabinet-level rank, even those below cabinet-level rank, are in contact with their chains of command. If they're hiking the Appalachian Trail, be rest assured there's going to be four or five security people with them and an expert communications system that will put them in direct control with the source of authority.
And, you know, you say this having had considerable experience, you know, in government. I understand that. But work with me. Let me, just because I don't get to do it very often,
I'm sorry, Bob.
Let me indulge my paranoid urges, okay?
Okay, sure.
What if Rexon and Mad Dog are attending a little 25th Amendment seminar? Do you know what I mean by that?
I think I do. It has to do with presidential succession, presidential removal.
Bingo.
That's it.
Now, I mean, because this is all, and you know, again, I could be completely out there in left field, all right?
These men already know about the 25th Amendment. They know exactly what it means.
Jim, I was speaking euphemistically.
I know.
But you've got, all of a sudden, he's on fire, and you know, we had some discussion of this. All of a sudden, he's on fire to get rid of Jeff Sessions, and he's trying to bully him out of the office because he doesn't have enough guts to fire him because he's going to lose a shit ton of his base if he does.
Not to mention the fact that Sessions could turn on him and really start unraveling a rather nasty bunch of tapestries.
Well, but just stay with me. He's on fire to get rid of Sessions. Tillerson is, who knows where. Mad Dog is out of town. Kind of makes you wonder where the rest of the cabinet is. Okay?
Well, I know you're speaking euphemistically, but in reality, the world in which I have known, all of these people their positions must be known, and they must be able to be within a flash contact. I mean, that's the law. I mean, that is
and not that the law means much to this administration, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yes, I mean, to this administration, it says lex dura latex.
But
I know.
You know, I said a long time ago, if there was anybody who was ever going to wake up and say, fellas, it's 25th Amendment time, it would probably be an old Marine like Mattis.
I would hope so.
And I don't have much good to say about Rexxon Tillerson, but the fact is, the man did manage. He ran the biggest, most evil corporation on the planet, Exxon. The man knows a little bit about corporate structure, and probably knows a little bit about what it looks like when it's time to send, say, your executive vice president for acquisitions off into the sunset because he's gotten a little dotty, okay? You think maybe Rexxon Tillerson ever had to deal with anything like that as CEO of Exxon?
Sure.
Okay, so you got two guys, Mattis and Tillerson, both of whom have executive-level managerial experience, the likes of which Donald Trump does not have and never will have, because all Donald Trump is a poser, okay? He's just a grifter. The idea of him as a management specialist is something that was created on a fucking reality television show, okay?
Got it. Absolutely.
All he's done is sit around and pose for pictures.
You're fired. You're fired.
Right.
That's all he ever said.
And so what I'm...
I've never heard anything confident come out of that stupid asshole's mouth. Except the lies he promised during the campaign.
And so I just have to wonder how somebody with the... The National Security Advisor, what's his name, Masterson?
Yes.
And John Kelly at Homeland Security. You know, he packed a lot of goddamn military brass into his cabinet, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he brought in outside expertise in the form of Tillerson, at the recommendation of kind of Sleazy Rice, I might add. Who would have some similar management experience. And it's hard for me to conceptualize. These are all men with whom I do not agree. Okay, I could not be further away from them in terms of morals, ethics, and philosophy.
I agree with you, Bob.
But I grant them the due to which they are entitled. Relative to their life experience. Am I still making anything resembling sense?
Of course.
So how can somebody like Masterson, Kelly, Tillerson, and Mattis look at somebody like Donald Trump and say, nah, everything's okay? Because, again, you brought up the history of 80 years ago, and we know that in that time, there were competent professionals who looked and said, no, the elevator quit going to the top floor a long time ago.
And guess what happened to them?
Yeah. But
you know about Bob Berg and Fritch? One was married a whore. The other was, they portrayed him as a homosexual. And both were completely separated.
But here's my point. I'm just, you know how it is with me and ciphering. I'm just counting on my fingers. Mattis, Tillerson, Kelly, Masterson, Sessions. That's five.
These are men.
And those are five people. Wait, Jim, those are five people he's already thrown under the bus. Who are not used to being treated in such fashion.
Oh, no. No.
Well, do you know how far away we are from, if you've got five, do you know how far away you are from that little letter that the 25th Amendment, Section 4, contemplates, if you've got five?
I do believe I am.
You're three away, Jim.
Well.
And so,
you
I'm just wondering.
May I quote him? Time will tell. And believe you me, it will not tell in any voice that he wishes to hear. I mean, you know, look at his attorney general. Okay. He's been on his ass every day, single this, single that, every friggin' day, because the man recused himself. Why did he recuse himself? Because if he were called to testify about what he knew, it will put Trump right out of the White House and in jail.
I think there's merit to your position. But
that's exactly why he's trying to make this man quit. Let him do it. Let him make him quit. And maybe some of that base support, the ones who loved that attorney general, will realize exactly what they have done by voting for this man. I mean, he has lied. The world has no respect for him. The world is afraid of him. Instead of looking to him as a benevolent leader of the free world who wants to make this planet a better place, we have another monster.
Well, but the thing is, the investigation won't end even if Trump goes leaves the office. And there's no small amount of information that suggests that Pence is up to his eyeballs, too.
I'm just fixing to say that. I think you know Pence is. And so is Ryan. Don't you think these guys don't to get together and talk and share their ideas? And Ryan is, too. So we got three people. We've got the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House, all in line of succession to the president of the presidency of the United States, and they all are as guilty as sin for a number of things they've done for their own political and personal avarice. These people have no concept of feeling. They have no concept of compassion. They are complete sociopath. That's exactly what they are. I mean, look at the sociopathy of the behavior of these three individuals. My God, if I were a psychiatrist, I would certify all of them completely nuts and remand them to an institution. That's exactly what I would do. I mean, that happens when this person, you know, when the person is no longer capable of containing himself and presents a harm to other people, that's when they get put away. If there is no redeeming quality to their behavior, if they cannot be trusted on the outside, that's when they lock the door and throw away the key.
Well, I know
that way about these three people. I mean, yeah, I'm offending someone. I hope not. But that's exactly how I feel about the vice president and the speaker of the House. And, of course, the head cheerleader, Blondie.
You're really gonna leave McConnell out?
No, we can include him. You know, let's face it. I think that the situation could embrace another soul or two, you know?
Yeah.
I think it could, absolutely. I mean, the trouble is they're playing canasta, or not even canasta. I don't think any of those assholes would have such stuff to play canasta or bridge. But they're playing checkers with the destiny of this country and the entire world. Now you've got that idiot in North Korea who is celebrating the 27th or whatever they call it, anniversary of when I think it was one of them came to power. Kim Il Sung, is that the one they're celebrating? Okay, now that asshole has a nuclear weapon, and he'll have a nuclear weapon a lot quicker than 2018. I can tell you that right now. He probably has one already. By George, if you can put on the targets the way they have in the past, listen, do you think they're going to tell you we got a nuclear weapon? No. They already have it. And they're not going to tell, because you don't do that.
I mean, we know the North Koreans have nukes.
I mean, talking about ones that can be carried to the United States.
Oh, suitcases?
No. Through a missile. They already have that capability, Bob.
Well, as I've said before, where that's concerned, I am much more. I think the North Koreans would be much more likely to nuke Japan than they would be the United States.
Well, you know, when it comes to that type of exchange, who knows who will do what? And even though Japan and Korea have been traditional enemies, I think we have probably taken his first place in that issue. I really do. I mean, maybe we need to send Dennis Rodman back over there to talk some sense into him, but I don't think that's going to work.
God, that's the funniest, yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, if Dennis would go to Pyongyang dressed in his bridal gown and step off of whatever is carrying him from the airport to wherever that asshole resides in Pyongyang, I'm sure he would love that. I mean, you've got two idiots in positions in which they could potentially destroy the world.
Did you catch the Youngstown speech last night?
Part of it, I did, and I couldn't take any more of it.
And we were on our way here.
I'm sorry.
And we were on our way here, and we passed all those factories, those empty, beautiful factories.
Yeah, he just wife said.
And Melania looked at me and said, "Where did the jobs go, or what happened?"
The only thing that... go ahead.
She's really got to be a simpleton. What happened? And I said, the jobs left, but they're coming back. They're all coming back. Yeah, to Youngstown? Really? You think?
I don't think so. Yeah, he announced a big one for a computer company we talked about, the ones in China that people jump out of windows for to get away from.
Well, that was my next question. So Foxconn is going to build, apparently, a factory in Wisconsin. Now, this is the same company that had to put up suicide nets around its buildings.
Yeah, we talked about that many times. Sure have.
And this is the same company that places two people who put workers on the line next to each other who don't speak the same dialect. And they're on their feet for 13, 14 hours a day, with like one bathroom break.
My God, if you want to go biblical, I think Pharaoh's slaves had more if they were slaves who built those pyramids, had a hell of a lot kinder treatment than that.
Oh yeah,
because I mean, built the pyramids.
No, they didn't. The pyramids were professionally built.
Absolutely, and the people who built them were well paid, taken care of.
Yep. But the historically speaking, I was reminded, Foxconn put up suicide nets because they had so many people trying to kill themselves by jumping out of their dormitory windows.
Yeah, I remember. We talked about that again.
Well, you know who else used suicide nets?
Mm-mm.
The Middle Passage, Jim. People who had been kidnapped and enslaved and transported in ships across the Atlantic to the to North America were so well. I mean, if they could get away, anything, they would jump. And so the ship owners began putting suicide nets around the ships to catch.
Well, they didn't do a very good job, because what they did was, when they were approached by a British frigate that had, and the Britain at that time had outlawed slavery, all these poor people were chained together, and in many cases they all were thrown over the side, so that they would contraband.
There is one. That would be, you know, that's up into the 19th century, but before that, just, you know, as a way of providing an example. When they began having the overboard problem, because, right, you know, we're talking about proud, civilized human beings who would rather be dead than enslaved.
Of course.
And they jump, and they put up suicide nets, but in an effort to discourage the jumping, at one point, and this is a matter of history, they lowered a woman from the yardarm into shark-infested waters, and before they could pull her up, her body was half gone. This was to discourage human beings from jumping, you know, jumping overboard.
Oh, they had incredible ways of teaching that lesson, Bob. Incredibly horrible ways of teaching that lesson. I mean, that is a stain. You know, that to me was just almost, if not surpassing, it is a Holocaust. It was a Holocaust. Except these people who received them benefited from their labor. And of course, you know, there you go. And with the former Holocaust, well, they had no interest in that. But they could tell you how much of the Reichsmark it would cost the government to transport and incinerate them. So, you know, we're talking about different types of economics, I guess, but there it is. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so incensed by this whole thing. Maybe I'm not making a whole lot of sense tonight.
No, you're doing fine. Yeah,
but, I mean,
you
this
are.
This is just absolutely untenable. There is no way this man can do this. And if he can do it, then he will suffer the consequences of his actions. He will not be able to do it very long. And as he says about Sessions, only time will tell. Mm-hmm. Out of his lips have come the very...
Yeah, I know.
End of his own day. That's exactly it. Time will tell. I mean, you just can't do stuff like this. You just can't do it. And have the government continue to function. I mean, Washington may be corrupt. It may be what he calls a swamp or whatever.
No, and now he calls it a cesspool or a sewer.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, and he's the biggest turd in there. Excuse me, but he is. And for him to reverse his position, and, you know, how many campaign promises has he broken? How many?
Every one?
Just about.
Save us a lot of time by asking how many has he not.
True, true, true. Absolutely. You know, it was a funny thing. And here I am going back to Nazism, and they can throw rocks at me all they want to. But
nobody's throwing rocks, Jim.
I know Ribbentrop, Hitler's foreign minister, had a birthday coming up. And they were trying to get together between Goebbels and Goering and all these other, and maybe Hitler himself, who knows, about what to give him for his birthday. And Goering, being possessed of so much stuff he's stolen, said, well, I've got a beautiful casket that I could give him, or a box in which we could place all of his treaties. And one of the other ones there said, yeah, but we've broken every goddamn one of them.
There you go. There you go. Well, Jim, it's good talking to you, my friend. I hope you have a good evening.
Well, you too.
You know,
and
just
thank you for taking my call.
All we can do is hang on to our sanity.
Well, you're right there. Take care.
All right, you too, Jim. Bye now. Not too far from here. That's our buddy Jim. And look, I realize the odds of this being the case are like infinite to one. But it just seems sort of strange that you've got one by one members of the cabinet suddenly finding themselves looking up at the undercarriage of a bus. And now all of a sudden, you know, where's Rexon? Where's Mad Dog? But look, with the session stuff in particular, I want to be really clear. I'm not taken in by it for a minute, and I hope you're not either. This is as silly a bunch of hoodoo as we're likely to see come down the pike in quite some time. Because Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is all of a sudden getting just a whole bunch of warmth and love and sympathy and pity. Bless his little heart. Lindsey Graham came out, no, not that way, and said, I have often occasionally disagreed with Senator Sessions, but I know he supports the rule of law. And I know that he is a man of integrity. Bullshit, he said to Robin, and he turned and walked away. Smoke and mirrors. Now that Sessions is getting all that warmth and that love and that pity, then they'll look at it and say, he wants to ramp up and start putting people in prison for life over a doobie. Sure he does. But he's got integrity. And he supports the rule of law. And sure he wants to reinvigorate the prison industrial complex. But he's got integrity, and he supports the rule of law. And that mean old Donald Trump is saying mean old things about him. How dare he? I don't know why I'm doing this in a Southern accent. Because there's people who don't have Southern accents who are doing exactly that. And they're all over the for-profit media, who prove themselves day in and day out unable to see through the gobbledygook and actually figure out what the fuck is going on. He does, you know. He wants to breathe new life into the prison industrial complex. He wants to reanimate the vicious corpse of civil forfeiture. You know, where people can lose their homes, their cars, over a drug bust that they didn't have anything to do with. So, pardon me if I'm not weeping any bucketfuls of tears for poor little abused Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third. Although, at the same time, the more conflict there is inside that White House, the more stress it puts on the Clementine Caligula. And the worse that is for him, and the better that is for us. I think. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions has no integrity. He's a goddamn racist. Is, was, always will be. And on top of being a racist, he remains an authoritarian prick. And I don't care how goddamn Christian he is. Because he's not much one of those either. So let's not get all worked up thing. Although, I mean, look, there is that stuff out there. Like Senator Susan Collins being caught on a hot mic saying that Donald Trump is crazy. But once again, saying means nothing. Here's a little bit of the audio from CNN on the story.
This is crazy. I mean, I don't say that lightly and as a kind of, you know, a goofy guy. And, you know, the... this thing, you know, if we don't get a budget deal,
I know.
We're going to be paralyzed. DOD is going to be paralyzed. Everybody's going to be paralyzed.
I know.
And he hasn't said anything.
I don't even think he knows that there is a VC.
No.
He was down at...
The first part of that hot mic is Susan Collins saying... He's crazy. Okay. But being as how it's prayer meeting Wednesday, we can always haul out a Bible verse or two. I mean, they rely on them. Why can't we? And in this particular instance, I'm thinking about... something from the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. In other words, it's not enough to say, he's crazy. You got to do something about it. Because if you live next door to an arsonist and you sit around in your living room and you look at your significant other and say, you know, we're living next door to an arsonist. And your significant other looks at you and says, yeah, we're definitely living next door to an arsonist. And you don't at some point in time let someone in a position of authority know. And then the arsonist goes and burns down, a church full of children. Well, it didn't matter a tinker's damn that you knew you were living next door to an arsonist. Does it? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, Susan Collins, Jack Reed. Until you're willing to stand up and go toe-to-toe with the son of a bitch... It don't come to nothing, as the saying goes. So, something to take into consideration. Well, here we are at 8:30 Eastern Daylight Time, and we've still got $280 to go in fundraising. Which tomorrow will be $520 to go in fundraising, probably less $20, $40, $50, depending on what the overnight crew does. But, you know, we're trying to match our buddy Scott's vacation offer, because the whole idea here is to be able to provide, you know, the money to go do the, you know, just to get out of come on, I don't take vacations. But we also have to keep the program on the air and keep all the bills paid. So right now we're at $280 to go with a kind matching request from Robert in Australia, who, by the way, did provide me some information. I said I didn't know who was on the 50 in Australia. And he said, we have plastic banknotes, polymer banknotes. He said, how they make these banknotes is a story in itself. The area around the Southern Cross is transparent. Since 1995, the Australian $50 banknote has had a portrait of the indigenous Australian author and inventor David Unapon. Nope, I'm probably messing that up. Appears on the front. And on the back is a portrait of Edith Cowan, the first female member of any Australian parliament. The original 1973 paper $50 banknote has a scientific theme. On the front of the note is a portrait of Australian pathologist Howard Walter Florey, Baron Florey, and scenes of laboratory research. On the back is a portrait of Sir Ian Clunies Ross, veterinary scientist and first chairman of the CSIRO, along with scenes from the Australian environment. Nice. Thank you, Robert. So Robert was hoping maybe three people would match his $38.08, which is $50 Australian. That hasn't happened either. So we find ourselves at $280 in fundraising to go. I hope it's not that at the end of the program. Yeah, I'm not crawling up on the cross. We all need the wood. But, you know, stress is not fun. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Kitty in Boston. Subject line, discharging troops due to medical costs. I know this latest TWOWL movement, very nice, wait a minute. Yeah. I know this latest TWOWL movement, TWOOP vowel movement, TWOOPing, yes, is totally garbage, but just thinking. If you're saying that trans people serving in the military incur too many medical costs, what about all the cis females serving? I mean, don't they need extra things that the boys don't need? Like birth control, hygiene products, pap smears, maternity care? How long before Trump goes after them under this pretext? Well, Kitty, in answer to your question, the right wing, the white wing, have never stopped going after women on that pretext. But again, I haul out that... And it's right in line with that clip we had last night of the white wing congressman from Texas, Brian Babin, was that his name? Who said, I don't understand why I have to pay maternity care for my insurance. Okay. Because basically what he's saying is he doesn't understand insurance and he doesn't understand risk pools or, you know, shared risks. But again, I remind Kitty and everybody else, the Pentagon already spends $84 million a year on boner pills. What makes me think that the majority, I don't know. There's a lot more enlisted than there are officers. I don't know. Maybe after that forced march with a 70-pound pack, maybe a little blue pill at the end of the day, or you know, like the Cialis ad. You just climb in the tub there. You got matching tubs at the end of a dock, and get right. $8.4 million versus $84 million worth of stiffy pills. It's going to take a lot of tampons to equal that. Wouldn't you think? Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, since I already went back to the original topic, let's check in with the liberal redneck Trey Crowder on this here particular issue, shall we? I think that could be enlightening. You know, as long as the damn file opens. That's deeply annoying. We'll get it yet. working. All right, we're going to have to try to do this another way. You think you got something queued up, and then you find out otherwise. Here we go. Maybe it'll work now. Yeah, this was posted today.
You know, up till now, the one thing I would give Trump the tiniest bit of credit for was that, unlike the rest of his sexually repressed GOP party mates, he was not openly hostile towards LGBT issues. Now, granted, I would then have to say, but he has a vice president who, I guarantee you, any time gay issues are discussed at all, Pence retires to his room later that night to scour the flesh of his back with whips while mumble praying some creepy Old Testament shit, because that motherfucker is a Stone Age zealot lunatic. So, even then, there was an asterisk on the amount of credit I would give him for LGBT issues, but wouldn't you know it, he used his bizarro Midas touch to turn that, too, into shit. Trump announced the U.S. military will be banning transgender people from service. He says because transgender soldiers have very specific medical costs that the U.S. military cannot afford to bear as they have other priorities. And you know, that kind of checks out. It really does. Because if there's one thing our military excels at, it is completely and utterly failing to prioritize the well-being of the people that fight its fucking wars for it. So I kind of get it. But really, the budget, the famously penny-pinching shoestring budget of the U.S. military industrial complex, really? How much could this possibly save them? Let's say it's a $500 million a year. No way it's even close to that, but let's say it's that. One aircraft carrier costs $2.3 billion a year to operate. We have 11 of them. All the other countries on Earth combined have 8. We have 11 at $2.3 billion a year each. We're talking about the single most bloated, wasteful governmental entity in the history of mankind, and this is the corner they choose to cut? Are you fucking shitting me? What kind of sense does that make? None, because it's not supposed to. This ain't a policy, it's a culture bomb. Think about it. Donnie looked around him, he didn't like what he saw. His Republican Congress is over here playing 10,000 monkeys with 10,000 typewriters with our nation's fucking health care. His son is this close to splitting in half to reveal a smaller, douchier version of himself that speaks Russian. He's got the FBI breathing down his neck and his cabinet's falling apart in front of his face. He needed something, anything. And so he landed on this, never mind how many people it devastates, many of whom serve this country, but that don't matter. This serves his interest. That's all that matters. But we can't be distracted from the shit show as a whole, all right? Look at these assholes. The GOP. Every time they need a landmark legislation or policy, whether it's taking health care away from millions of sick and old people, or it's telling capable soldiers they can't serve their country because of their sexual identity, whatever it is, every single time it seems to boil down to their inherent shittiness. And whether it's maliciousness and contempt for the rest of us, or it's just incompetence and lack of compassion, that's beside the point. The point is they are bad. Fundamentally. They are a cancer on this country, and starting next year, our focus has to be on removing it. So, eyes on the prize. I love y'all. We're going to be all right.
Well, that ended on a delightfully upbeat note. Remember, Trey Crowder, TraeCrowder, Trey Crowder. You can get his stuff on YouTube, but if his tour gets anywhere near you, by all means, go and check him out. I think you'll be based on some previous recommendations from folks like Tracy, you'll be really, really, really happy that you did. Trey Crowder, TraeCrowder. Meanwhile, A note coming from Matt. He will learn, don't piss off the queers. Linking to a story. Emergency protest planned in Castro District of San Francisco, following Trump's ban on trans people in the military. Following this morning's tweet announcement by the president of a ban on trans people serving in the military, something that could affect over 2,000 active... I'm sorry, I said 11,000 earlier. Maybe it's just 2,000. Oh, well, affect over 2,000 active duty troops. An emergency protest has been announced in the Castro beginning at 6 p.m. Wednesday at Harvey Milk Plaza. That's about 18 and a half minutes from now. Please come to this emergency protest to show Trump's administration and the world that San Francisco stands with the transgender community, reads the Facebook announcement by a group called The Resistance. Over 500 have already said they're attending, and over 1,100 others are interested just a couple of hours after the event was posted. The reaction, the story notes, has been swift. On Twitter and on other social media, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Chelsea Manning have responded. And the article states, and the article, by the way, comes from sfist.com. Politico surmises that President Trump's decision to announce the ban without consulting even his own defense secretary, it seems, came as a result of last-ditch effort to save a spending bill in the White House, in the House of Representatives, that includes funding for one of Trump's key campaign promises. Oh, there it is. The big, beautiful Mexican border wall. Right. Fighting among defense hawks and the Pentagon over funding for sex reassignment surgery for military personnel threatened to derail the bill, and this apparently spurred Trump's early morning tweets. Well, it's also about undoing anything that Barack Obama ever touched. We've talked about the ancient concept of damnatio memoriae. The Egyptians practiced it, the Greeks practiced it, the Romans practiced it, where when a new regime came in, especially in the wake of something like a civil war or a usurpation, they would tear down all the statues and scratch out the names of the previous leader. If Donald Trump could do that, he would. But he is practicing a 21st century version of it by trying to undo anything that got done under Barack Obama. And this is part of that. It's not just that defense bill and the funding for the big, beautiful wall. You know, the one that's going to have sharks and laser beams or whatever it is that he most lately said. Jesus Christ. No, what's the latest? It's going to have windows in it. We're going to have windows in the wall and solar panels, because when they throw 60-pound bags of drugs over the walls, it hits people in the head. God damn! I mean, I wish I was as funny as Trey Crowder. There's got to be something funny to say about that, but all I can do is just read a story like that and sit there with my mouth hanging open, catching flies, wondering at the terrible, august majesty of the goddamn Spirochetes that made him say that. Whoa. Well, I hope there are far more people gathered in Harvey Milk Square in San Francisco than the organizers even anticipated. And you know what I really hope are there? A whole lot of straight allies. And in a place like San Francisco, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that there may be. So, that's really, well, what Matt said, he's fucked with the wrong people. Because, as I said, this is the most successful, most committed activist group in the United States. And a whole bunch of other active grassroots activists could learn a whole lot from them. And thank you, Matt. Thank you very kindly. Matt sent a note, said, just threw $50 into the pot. Thank you, Matt. I can't thank you enough. That takes us down to 230 to go, and that constitutes a match for the request of from Robert in Australia. Thank you very much. Under the subject line, ridiculous new level, David in South Carolina sends me a tweet. Oh, my God. And apparently it drove Joyanne Reed, who, by the way, is really, really insufficiently ideologically pure. I just want to make that clear. She retweeted Yashar Ali, who tweeted, watch on BBC, Anthony Scaramucci compares Trump's bid to repeal Obamacare to Lincoln abolishing slavery. Oh, my Jesus. Yeah. And the insufficiently ideologically pure Joy Reid said, what is wrong with these people? Short answer? Everything. Every goddamn thing. Yeah, you remember the tune from Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific? You have to be carefully taught. It's a groundbreaker when it was included in the original production back in, what was it, the late 40s, early 50s. It's about racism and bigotry. But you do have to be careful. Children, people have to be carefully taught. Because otherwise they won't grow up to be racists and bigots. I mean, we see it among the young young now. Most people, even here in West Virginia, which is a sad thing for me to say, even here in West Virginia, because it means that, you know, this is a bigoted, racist play, because it is. But even here in West Virginia, people of my kids' generation, and my kids range in age from 29 down to 20. Even people my kids' generation, they don't, around here, they don't give a shit if somebody's gay. They don't give a, they really don't care, for the most part. I mean, you've still got your bubba outliers, you know, with their rolling coal diesel pick-em-up trucks and whatnot, but mostly they don't care. And straight kids have gay friends, and gay kids have straight friends. And you look and you say, hey, you know, there may be some hope. But you do have, racism, bigotry, hatred for people who love each other differently than you think they should, which is none of your goddamn business to begin with. That all is learned behavior. And so, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, you remember Kevin Swanson? Yeah, he's the guy who thinks that that America is lesbianizing its little girls by letting them watch that Elsa in that Frozen movie. Right? and gets all bent out of shape about Harry Potter books. And to quote the offertory hymn from Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. Well, he's back, Kevin Swanson is. Oh, yeah, sweet Jesus, he's back. And you know what? You know what he's rooting for? Here's what he's rooting for.
You know, Kevin, it seems to me academically Jesus. The educational system is turning into a big joke, a very, very expensive joke at that. I think the increase per student adjusted for inflation is something like 4 to 5 times what it was in the early 1970s. And, of course, the student debt is just through the ceiling right now. College debt has increased tenfold in the last 15 years. So academically, the educational system's turned into a really, really, really big joke. It seems to me it's going to fall on its own weight. So yeah, I'm not sure we are going to have to bring about the fall of Jerusalem or the fall of the public schools here. It seems to me that this thing's going to fall on its own weight. There are going to be a lot of disappointed people in the process, but what do you think of that?
Well, I think let it happen. You know, if Christians really believe the scriptures, then we're going to be the ones to reconstruct society, and we're going to be the ones with the answers.
Yeah.
And that's already happening. When I used to run a homeschool group, we had a very good body of students and a very good body of parents. And every now and then, you know, we would get...
Goddess of irony all over again. We had a good body of parents and a good body of students. Very good. This guy's probably a youth pastor.
Someone who would come to us and say, you know what, I'm not a Christian, but I need help. I need answers. I need to know what you're doing. And we would try to help them, and even if it was just informally. But we Christians have the answers. And for those Christians out there, a lot of them are in the homeschool community. I know that there are issues with homeschooling and private Christian schools, but I like to think that we're part of the solution and not the problem. We're at least trying. But we're the ones with the answers, and we're the ones that are going to save liberals from themselves, because liberals actually have more freedom when Christians are in charge.
Do tell. Really? We've got freedom to believe like they want us to believe. We've got freedom to go to church when they tell us to go to church. We've got freedom to read the Bible instead of anything else when they take away everything but the Bible. We've got freedom to read the books that they don't burn. We've got freedom to go to the libraries that they don't close. But like I said, you have to be carefully taught. And the beginning of that is what this freak is praying for, the fall of the public schools. And of course, the fall of the public schools is the reason that Betsy DeVos, who knows about as much about education as a hog does about Tiffany lamps, well, that's why she's the... That's why she's the Secretary of Education. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you very kindly for jumping in and taking us down to $220 to go to here toward the end of the program. Thank you very kindly. And, you know, just because it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and damned if we don't deserve a giggle after all of this, we're going to wrap up because we haven't had a pitch for bucket pudding in a while. Every time I say bucket pudding, I feel like I need to shower in bleach. I don't know why that sounds so filthy to me, but it does. Yeah, come on over here, bucket pudding. When I'm done, I'll leave that $5 bill on the nightstand. Yeah. Uh-huh. So Jim Baker's got a new pitch for his bucket pudding, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Right. And, well, take it away, Jim.
This show today is so important. And Tom Horn is truly called of God to do what he's doing.
Wait a minute. The horn is called to... Oh, no, Tom Horn. I'm sorry. He must be the guy on the synthesizer creating the weird minor key vibe in the background. But anyway...
The devil does not want this show. They don't want us talking about angels. God woke me up, and I felt the presence of God like I'd never felt.
I think this is going to be his prison testimony, and I don't think that was God. I think that was Cletus.
And he said, Jim, I want you to start with, you know, do more food. Build a new type of food.
I wonder how my innards would like that, but no, sorry.
And so on there, it calls right there. See, staying alive. And this is the first time in history there's ever been a 30-year shelf life food.
Olive oil has been found sealed up at the bottom of the ocean for 2,000 years, but no. Jim Baker's got the first 30-year shelf life food in history, but never mind.
This is what God is saying to me, and we'll find out.
That's right.
You'll find out if I hear from God or not, because one of these days we're in the last days. And the years I spent in prison, God showed me the revelation. And I'm telling you, almost all of it is already fit. We're going to see the ends, the end of time. And that's where we are right now. Okay, come on. Sing this just a little bit of this.
All right, band.
Okay.
Play it. Come on, let's get excited.
Oh, Jesus, I was about to forget to give you the hockey puck warning. So I don't know who she is. She's some big girl's been standing next to Jim Baker this whole time, looking longingly at the bucket pudding. But now they're and the bucket pudding is labeled, I warn you, staying alive. And we're almost out of time, thank God. Hockey puck. Just hockey puck.
Excited now. You know you like it. You know you're having fun. Come on. Some of you stand up. Come on.
I'm staying alive, staying alive.
Ba, 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 botulism, botulism. E, 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 coli, E, coli.
I'm staying alive.
Oh, yeah, flat that, baby. Clam it real good. Forgot the lyrics.
I'm staying alive. I'm staying alive. I got my food and I'm staying alive. I got my peace and I'm staying alive.
I've got my food, I've got my pizza, and I'm staying alive. Holy crap. Good point, Brother Deacon Asa. Maybe it wouldn't feel so filthy if you called it by its real name, Doomsday Slop Bucket.
I'm staying alive. I'm staying alive. Are you staying alive? I'm staying alive.
Oh. And so with that, dear friends, brethren and sistren, after passing the plate for 3 solid hours, we'll close the program, $220 to go, and I don't have any damn bucket pudding to send you, or doomsday slop buckets to send you. I'm sorry, I don't, but still, thanks everybody for spending your precious finite time engaged in this long-form, more than a decade conversation we've been having. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Midweek Utility Chat Room Moderator Steve from Georgistan, pulling extended duty. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. Remember, nominate them to receive a portion of your purchase price in the form of a donation at smile.amazon.com. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.